and down like a clown. Everyone knows it's Slinky, the best present yet to give or get. The kids will all want to try. The hit of the day when you're ready to play. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's the best of the toys. It's Slinky, it's Slinky, the favorite of girls and boys.
And look, girls and boys, here are some more wonderful Slinky toys. The Caterpillar. And the Slinky Turtle. And even a Slinky Dog.
A Slinky Toy, a Slinky Toy, will run and play all day. A Slinky Toy, my favorite toy, you'll say. There is a Slinky Toy for every girl and boy.
The Blitz.
Ryan, you're on the Blitz. Go.
How long is the leash with Bill O'Brien?
With Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Dude just made the playoffs in his second year as coach.
He's been 9-7 both years.
I mean, I don't think he's in a spot where he could go 4-12 next year and feel great. But as long as he doesn't completely fall off the map, I think he's okay for the next. I mean,
and I think he deserves to not be on a short leash.
Weekdays from 4-7.
On the whole, I think he's done a pretty solid job. He's made a lot of mistakes. I think last year he learned from some of those mistakes as the season went on. I think this year he learned from some of those mistakes as the season went on.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
With the weapons that they don't have on offense, and the fact that they had to try four quarterbacks out there, the fact that they've done what they did with that offense and the players they have, I think that's a positive. There's more positives and negatives with the guy so far, but I think next year's a key year.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back live here at Radio Row, and the hits just keep on coming because we get another Hall of Famer. This has been quite the stretch. Joining us now is former Kansas City Chief Bobby Bell. And Bobby, appreciate the time, sir. And of course, you were part of the Super Bowl long before it became this kind of event. How much different is it now to come here doing what you're doing and say, wow, this wasn't here when I won this thing?
I tell you one thing, though, the press wasn't like this. I remember the first press that was around the swimming pool at the hotel we were staying on Saturday. You know, you do an interview and jump in the pool. And, you know, in about 2 hours, you were done. This was it. It's not like all week, you know. No one dreamed of what the Super Bowl become, you know. The best thing ever happened, I tell people all the time, is that Lamar Hunt started the AFL. And they created another place for the players to go and play, you know. And that's what the Super Bowl has done right now. It became one of the biggest games in the world now.
The sport in general, did you ever imagine it becoming this? I mean, you kind of came up as it was still growing, and it was just one of several sports on the landscape at the time, and then the merger and everything. Did you ever see this happening?
No, not back then, you know. Everybody's the same. Because, I mean, Buck Buchanan was standing there on the sideline, sitting there and looking up in the stand. They had 30,000 seats empty up there in the stand. And then I said to him, hey, man, who in the heck is going to pay $12 for a seat? You know, that was the most expensive seat in the house. $7.50 you could get anywhere, you know. And back in Kansas City, for $3, you can sit anywhere in the stand, you know. But that's what it came out to be, you know. And I told a lot of people this year, you know, my two Super Bowl tickets, I paid $6,000 for them. I said I didn't make but $7,500 the first Super Bowl, you know. It's just, the whole game, you know, now it's a week before the game. Everybody comes out, party, and all that stuff. Everybody got the company.
It's an event.
Huh?
It's an event now.
It's a big event, you know. That's where all the money, they bring in all the money. And they jack up the hotel, double the room size. The room is the same size. Any other time you pay $90 for it. Now you pay $400 for it a night, you know.
When you look back on it now, I mean, obviously, did you at the time realize that, hey, I'm a Super Bowl champion. That's going to mean something for the rest of my life. When you won that game, and especially
the way you guys won it as underdogs. I mean, is that something that at the time you realized, or is it sunk in later as you got older?
Well, it's, at the time we was underdog. Yeah, it's something that I figured later. You know, it's something you can look back over. You know, and the whole thing is about the Super Bowl is that the first Super Bowl, like the first Super Bowl, is that you had 66 guys that can say they played in the first Super Bowl. You know, at the beginning of the game, they had five guys on the field with the toss of the coin, you know. Now they have 31 out there on the field, you know. And the halftime show, Jesus Christ, the halftime show is unreal, you know. We look around, everybody say, you going to the Super Bowl, then they talk about the game second, like. And like before, it was they worried about the game. They wanted, like, Green Bay, the first game. The NFL said, you got it. The pressure was on them to beat us because they've been in the league longer than we have. You know, we're just a new team to come out. They call us the Mickey Mouse League, you know, and stuff like that. And what happened is the third Super Bowl, Joe Namath's coming by and said, hey, we're going to win this thing. You know, we're going to win this thing. Then we came back as a wild card, came back and beat the Jets, Oakland, and then went and beat the, Minnesota. And we the underdog, 17 points underdog. They said it can't be done. And that's when they decide, hey, this is a time for us to mean to go get. We're not going away. And that's what happened. Look at the game now. Guys are making twice the money. You know, we work, two jobs. I'm working for General Motors full time. Took my vacation during training camp. People always come up to me and say, hey, Bobby, hey, you play football. He said, well, I thought you were. I said, yeah, I work for General Motors. Football is my number two job. And I treat it that way because we didn't make that kind of money.
And, you know, you see it now. Now they're paying a lot of attention to the injuries and concussions and all that. And when you were playing, it was different. I mean, they put you right back out there.
Well, yeah, the thing is, back then, you know, if you don't play, you don't get paid. So the players had to play. They had to play. They hurt. You know, they get shot up, you know. They take pills, the drugs and stuff like that. They want to get back on the field. You know, in fact, when they go back out there, they keep bruising up, re-hurting it. Now, you know, they thump you on the top of the head, you go to the locker room, you know. Back then, you go to the sideline, they wave your fingers up, say, hey, guys, can you see how many fingers, you know? And the guy said, one. He got four fingers. He said, you can go back in. So that's all right. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And the players, I mean, they you got to get on them too, you know, because they were hurt. They wanted their money, you know. They wanted the money. So that's what it's about, you know. The game is totally changed.
Who are the guys now that are playing that you admire that have that sort of old school mentality that you think could have played back in those days?
Well, they got a lot of guys out, you know. Let's go back to the quarterbacks, you know. You got the guy from, you know, the guy from North Carolina. You know the quarterback that plays for North Carolina.
Oh, Cam.
Oh yeah, you know
he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, you know, I used to be a quarterback too.
Were you?
Oh yeah. See, I used to be, but I couldn't play quarterback
because you were black.
Well, how'd you know that, man? Because
I'm sitting across from you.
I mean, you sitting across from me. Oh, you recognize I was black? I didn't know that shit.
I didn't.
I didn't know you was bald-headed either.
Well, I am.
I didn't know that, man. I kept getting this glare. I thought it was the light on me.
It's probably bald. They do me no favors with that.
Do me a favor, huh?
They do me no favors.
People don't tease you about that, do they?
No.
No, the quarterback, you know, he plays the game. Here's a guy that plays the game. And you, the whole you take the North Carolina, the defense, they play as a team, man. Them guys out there, they hustle. Denver does the same thing. They got a good defense. You know, it's hard to call. You know, I like to see North Carolina come through, you know. But, you know, the thing is, they got some great players out there, this team. Now everybody they isolate people. They win the game because of them, one person. It's hard to do that. They don't last that long. But you got to play as a team. And that's what the North Carolina. And also, you know, you got the Demers playing like that, you know. They're playing like a team. I like both the teams, you know, the way they're playing.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Bobby Bell joining us. Tell us what you got going on with pork rinds. I love pork rinds.
You like pork rinds? I noticed that, man. I looked at you. I know you was eating that.
You could tell. You could tell.
I had pork rind, man.
You guys didn't bring any with you?
Oh, good. Hey, the guy on there, they took it all. They took it all.
That fat son of
no, don't
Morales.
Say that. Yeah, he took it all, man. You know, pork rind, we joined up with Mike Dicker, you know, with the Greyhound Greats, you know, about 4 years ago as that pork rind got with us. And they give a portion of their sales and stuff to the Great Iron Greats. And what that does to us is help us to help the pioneer NFL players that didn't make the kind of money. They need an operation on their hip or something like that, you know, and they don't know how to pay for it. We jump in there and pay for it, you know, help pay for it, stuff like that. And that's what we're doing now. And just like this year, we started about 6 months ago, you know, we're starting this contest, you know, Sack the Quarterback. And people can go online on portrind.com and see and play Sack the Quarterback. And if they get to put their name into the pot, you know, they'll be drawing for $3,500 and a year supply of port rind, you know. Now, you should have joined then, you know.
I need to.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need a year supply, though. That might not be a good one.
But that's a good way, you know. And that's what we try to do, encourage people to go buy Rudolph Rand, to buy some of the products and stuff like that. And we just, and a portion of the money goes to it.
All right, that's Bobby Bell, Hall of Famer. Bobby, appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to get up and get out of your way here, man.
All right, good,
you
know, good.
We're going to send you some Fort Ryan.
You already hurt my feelings about my bald. I got to get you out of here.
I didn't realize you were bald, man, until you brought it up.
I forgot that disco sucks. I ended up with nobody and I started feeling dumb. Maybe I should play the lead guitar and pass.
And we are back there on Radio Row.
I don't know what the hell's going on around here.
I know we got Deshaun Golson, but I don't know what the hell that puppy monkey baby thing is. That is
a vile thing.
That is frightening. What the heck is that?
Man, that's like a little baby monster.
Yeah,
it feels weird too.
Don't touch it. Everybody around here is touching that thing, dude.
Now there's going to be pictures of you all over the internet.
Yeah, you got some kind of sanitizer for this guy? He just shook hands with that thing. Deshaun Golson is our guest, man. I hear back in your old stomping grounds.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The Niner fans walking by, we miss you. We miss you. I got to tell you. You cashed out of that thing at the right time, my man.
Because you know, I like to think so, you know.
Yeah, because it's a mess here right now. It is a mess.
It's sad. It sucks. But I think they'll turn back around hopefully soon.
When you had that season you had in 2012, one of your best seasons, you're all pro.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kind of assume the 49ers are going to come right at you? Or did you know that you might have played your way out of town?
You know what? I thought I did. You know, I really did. Just walking around the building, they used to always tell me, like, you're going to be here for life. You're going to be here, and, you know. But, you know, it didn't work out. It's cool. It's cool.
Things didn't last in Tampa. I mean, you get the big contract. They move you to Washington. Were you surprised when that happened, or was that something that you kind of felt coming?
Yeah, I kind of felt that coming.
Was it just not a fit for you?
Nah, it wasn't. The first year was okay. It wasn't so bad, and then they had another coach change, and then That's when I start feeling like, okay, yeah, this is going to probably be the end of the road for me here in Tampa. And sure enough, it was, you know. And God has blessed me with another opportunity, and I seized that. I made the best of that one.
The Redskins, I mean, it wasn't probably the year that you envisioned when you start the season,
mm-hmm.
but it was a playoff year.
Definitely.
You know, you make the playoffs. Right. The division was a mess.
It was.
But somebody had to win it. You guys won it. You feel like you're taking the team is taking some positive steps toward becoming a contending team?
For sure. Just coming in, you know, I came in OTAs in April. Just see the team grow. We had camp and then training camp, but we suffered a lot of injuries, man. We had a lot of adversity we had to face, man. We lost a lot of key guys that I felt that would have helped our football team. We were forced to have some guys, you know, step up big time in that didn't have much experience at all, and some young guys that had first year in the league. So, with that and what we did, we were able to accomplish winning the division and going into the playoffs. I think it speaks a lot for what we got and what we can do.
There are rumors that when RG3 was sat down, mm-hmm. that the team became a team. you know, that that maybe a lot of the people that were on that team did not believe in RG3.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you guys kind of united when that happened, or do you think that's just coincidence?
I think definitely just coincidence. I wasn't there years prior, so I don't know what kind of team. I don't know what was going on with him being a starting quarterback and all. But when I came in, I think I seen a guy that, you know, handled that situation like a pro, and I saw him help the quarterback that they gave that got the job. And I think he helped Kirk out. He was still one of the first guys in the building and the last guy off the football field. So I think he still handled it well, and he continued to do good things wherever he ended up.
Do you feel good about Kirk Cousins moving forward if that's your guy? Certainly the last few games of the season especially, he played at a very high level.
Yeah, he did, and I do. He's a guy, he just, this first year he really had, I mean, a lot of experience. He has a guy, a football team that's confident in him, that's backing him up. And whenever you had that, man, all you could do is just look forward and continue to get better.
What do you think of these two teams on Sunday? How do you think this is going to play out?
Oh, man, this is going to be a great game, I feel. It's going to come down to the most physical football team, to be honest with you. That's how I look at it. And who's going to pull away with it, you know, it's hard to say. But I'm leaning towards Carolina a little bit.
as a safety, what's it like defending a guy like Cam Newton who can throw the ball and take off? I mean, I know that's probably not something you want to see back there. Is
right.
You get the 6'6 guy barreling down on you, but
for sure.
But what's that like?
I mean, it's tough, man. But you just got to make sure you just have a little confidence in your front seven to get to keep him contained, and so you can go ahead and make your job a little bit easier. And all you got to do is read his eyes and his shoulders and break on the football, rather than coming all the way up from 20 yards trying to bring down a 260, 6'4 athletic quarterback.
Is it you take a little pride in the fact that both these teams just play great defense, and as a defensive player, you sit there and watch what those teams are doing and try to take some of that for yourself moving forward?
I do. I mean, these are two football teams that, you know, deserve to be here for the simple fact that they play great defense throughout the years. They got a tremendous defense out in Denver, and, you know, Kegley's leading those guys on the defensive side with Carolina. I think they play well, and I take a lot from both teams, even at the position. But as the unit alone, I mean, they play well together, and that's very that's admiring.
You're not here to pitch anything this week. You're just hanging out and chatting.
No,
huh?
I'm just chilling, man.
Yeah.
I'm just chilling.
I like that.
For sure.
You having fun with this, though, bouncing around, getting a chance to talk to different markets and get your name out there a little bit?
I am, you know. I've been doing this for a little bit, but, you know, it's always fun to come back around, you know, the guys that you play with and just share some of your insights on the game.
All right, that's Deshaun Goldson, Washington Redskins. Deshaun, great season last year for you guys. I hope it gets better for you in the future, and I hope we see you again here next year, man.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully I'll be playing.
All right, Deshaun Goldson.
Okay. He wouldn't be playing if he was still in San Francisco,
I promise you that.
No. They won't be here next year.
Well, we'll see him either way because we'll be in Houston.
This is the only way for San Francisco to get close to the Super Bowl was to have it in this town. Otherwise, they ain't nowhere near it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's I'll tell you, it was fun when he first sat down. That all the fans, we want you back.
Yeah.
Good
they
luck with
they
that.
They didn't want to pay.
I'm sure you want Jim Harbaugh back, too.
That's right.
I think that one's going to happen.
You want.
Anyway, all right, let's try to reset the show here. And if our next guests come through here, it's going to be pretty impressive. I'll just say that. But been a very good run so far, Richard Sherman.
The good news is our next two guests, it's one of those where we wanted to have them both. But they both only had one spot available, so we said, okay, we'll take them both at the same time. I mean, I guess, what do they have in common? They both played in the SEC.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Pretty much.
But if – same haircut or no? No, not the same haircut. But if one of them doesn't show up, we're still good.
Yeah.
We've still got a huge guest coming up next. If we even get one of the two, if we get both, it's mind-blowing.
So what are the odds that we get one of the two?
How you feeling on these two guests, Mike? Our next guest, we feel good on both of them?
Yes, we do. We're supposed to get them together.
Right.
But we might luck up and get them alone. Victor Cruz is on his way. Tebow's 5 minutes late. So we might be able to push Tebow back to 5 Central.
Oh, okay.
So get him by himself. But if not, we'll get him together.
And that then we bump Deontay Wilder. Is that what you're saying? Are you bumping?
Quickly.
Okay.
Quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
We've talked to Wilder.
We've talked to him all the time.
You know, which one would you take?
You know who
I'll
take.
I don't have to bump him.
No, we need to bump him.
I can bump Tebow for Wilder.
No, we'll take Timmy.
I think I'm going to do that.
And while you're on here, I want to just take a minute to say the great job that Michael Pierce does, that AD does, in keeping us on air out here when people step on his power strip and we think we're off air and we're really not. But these two guys work their butts off the whole time we're here, and bring you these guests. Find us together.
Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. From Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here at Radio Row in San Francisco.
It's a bunch of good wide receivers walking around here.
There's a couple. But we're very happy to have, well, I think maybe more famous as the star of HBO's Ballers, or one of the stars of Ballers, also plays receiver for the Giants. Victor Cruz joins us. Hey, how much fun was that to do? Because you look like you were having fun on that show, man.
That was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun being with guys like Rob Kadri and The Rock, man. They're just two professionals that understand the business, and it's good to be around those guys to make it easy to act around.
Is that something you want to do moving forward when your career ends, which hopefully won't be for a while?
I do. I think it's something that's been a passion of mine once I got introduced to it, especially with being fortunate to do some commercials and stuff like that, being a New York athlete. So it's definitely something I want to take serious post-career.
Speaking of being a New York athlete, New York will turn on you when you're not playing well or you're injured for too long. Mm-hmm. What's the fan response been like for you with the time that you've missed? Are they still good to you?
They're still good to me in person, right? At least my social media accounts maybe not so much,
right?
But in person, everybody's really rooting for me and rooting for me to come back, and really has me in their prayers and things like that. So that response has been well. But when I post a photo being on vacation, they don't like that.
They
too
don't
much
like
on
that.
Instagram.
Let me ask you, because if you'd asked me 2-3 years ago, You're about to become the breakout star of the New York Giants. You are about to be the man in that town. Mm-hmm. And since you've been out, Odell Beckham's come along and sort of, you know, he's kind of taken that spot as the number one guy on that team. Is there a competition between you guys, or is this something that you're happy to have another guy like that on the team, and it's for the best of the team as a whole?
I'm ecstatic to have a guy like that on the team. I mean, even when we won the Super Bowl in those early years of my career, I mean, we had Akeem Nicks, Mario Manningham. We had a slew of guys that were making plays and doing some good things for us. So the more the merrier, man. I think a guy like that can only help our team, and adding a guy like myself to that mix can only make us better, and that's what we want. I'm all about the team. I'm all about making us better as a whole and competing for a championship, which is where this team, you know, belongs and where we want to be.
How are you feeling when they announced that Tom Coughlin's not going to be back next year? What was it like for you? That's a guy who won you a Super Bowl. Do you feel it's got to be a bummer, but at the same time, you kind of know maybe this team needs a sort of a new direction.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's just being an athlete on the team, being a competitor, it's out of your hands. You know, it's nothing you could do about it. You obviously wish you can bring them back at least for another year or whatever the case may be, but you understand that business is business, and it's something that's out of your control. So you just want to take it with a grain of salt, and I'm ecstatic about Coach Ben McAdoo. I think he's a guy that really understands his players and understands how to talk to us and get us to respond to the things that he wants to teach us. So I'm excited about that. And then, you know, offensively, we should be clicking on all cylinders once we all get back healthy and ready to go.
How tough was it for you watching? I know you were really trying to get back this year.
But watching all those games early that you're barely losing and just thinking, you know, if I'm out there, I might be the guy that makes the play that gets us over the top and we're 5-1 instead of getting off the start you got to.
Yeah, man, it sucks. I think ESPN posted some ridiculous stat that if every game that we played in the first 7 weeks ended with 3 more minutes left, we would have won. We would have been 6-1 instead of, you know, 3-4 wherever we were at that specific time. So it was tough to watch, and then understanding that, you know, you go through all these ups and downs throughout the year and you're not out there to help. I mean, you're out there as a voice, but you're not out there to help as much as you want to physically, and it was a tough year, to say the least.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit off air, but how's the rehab going? Are you feel like you're going to be ready for, you know, once you get to OTAs?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm very diligent in the rehab process, and we're just building the strength back now and making sure I'm able to run and cut and jump and do all those things that I'm accustomed to doing without any setbacks or any more setbacks for that matter, and I'm excited for that opportunity.
What do you think about this game on Sunday, man?
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a battle of defenses, but I think it's going to be fun. I do believe I got to go with the Manning. It'll almost be blasphemous for me not to go with a Manning brother out there on Super Bowl Sunday. So I got Denver winning 21-18.
You don't want Eli to have one more than Peyton?
Nah, man. I want both of them to have two. I want Eli's got a couple more years, God willing, so we probably win another one, hopefully. But, yeah, man, I wanted to it'll suck for him to play in 4 Super Bowls and only get one, man. That won't be fun.
What do you think the Giants – what do you think of the offseason? What are the priorities for that team?
I think you know, first of all, it's getting everybody healthy. Obviously, getting everybody back to 100% and able to help this team win. I think, obviously, we have some defensive issues up front, getting to the quarterback. I think that's all been very well documented throughout the year. And I think that's going to be our biggest key. I think whenever we, you know, in those great Super Bowl win championship teams, we've had a front seven that's been pretty stellar and getting to the quarterback and making things happen and making, you know, making the quarterback have a tough time against us. So I think the Giants look to get back to that.
Tell us what you got going on with Esurance.
I'm here with Esurance. They're giving away $1 million on Super Bowl Sunday.
I'll take it.
$50,000 to about 16 people. All you have to do is go on the Esurance Twitter handle, and once you see the hashtag Esurance Sweepstakes, retweet it as much as possible. I'll be tweeting it out. Esurance handle will be tweeting it out, and the more you retweet it, the higher your chances are to win.
I want to ask you one more before we let you go here, because there's been a lot of talk about Cam and his antics and that, but he always strikes me as a guy who's just out there having fun. You strike me as a guy who's out there having fun. Is this completely overblown?
I think so. I think, you know, a guy's just having fun, man. You don't want to make too much of a guy that's just out there having a good time, playing the game, and understanding what his team needs to win. He's not putting himself above his team. He's not putting himself above the game. He's just out there having fun. His teammates love him. You can see that on the field each and every week. And in the words of Cam, if you don't want to see him dance, don't let him score.
I think I've heard you say something similar to that, too. All right, well, that's Victor Cruz, man. Big fan of yours. Looking forward to getting you back on the field. And just love watching you play. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. And, yeah, let's try to win some of that $1 million from Esurance there.
Yeah, I feel I should win that.
I just want to win a date with the cartoon.
There's even six dudes or six people winning $50,000. That seems like they can throw one of those at me.
I'll take one.
No big deal.
I'll take one.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I don't need the whole million.
Well, I'll take the $50,000 and the cartoon Esurance girl.
I'll get that $50,000, put it on black, and I'll let it ride. We'll see what's happening.
Absolutely. All right. So let's reset things here. That was Victor Cruz. Man, this is you look at this. Richard Sherman, Doug Flutie, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, Victor Cruz so far.
Oh, my man.
Oh, man. How'd you score the Esurance ball?
He gave it to me.
I know.
Look at me.
That's pretty awesome.
Look at me. I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah, you are.
Got a Sadly, I'm going to give that away to one of these fans out here because I got a suitcase full of beer. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take that thing back. I got to figure out logistically
all
how
right.
That'll work.
We ready to go? Okay. What? Well, if we wind up going,
what are
to
we
break?
Like until break? We got 1 minute till break. All right. Well, we're going to go to break and then we're going to record it during the break.
Well, no, we're going to go live.
Oh, right. Okay.
We can do that?
That's perfect.
Okay. So we can do what the hell we want. Because
yeah. Tim Tebow is here. He is going to join us next. I'm excited about this. We're going to have a full segment with him.
Yes, we are. All right.
Mike Pearson is the man. Look
that's
at this
right.
guy.
That's how you do this. You just.
My man. No, I'm just saying, though, you made it work. You made it work is all I'm saying.
Well.
Mike made it work.
So let's not waste
time. I didn't think it was going to work. Mike made it work. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Tell the boss to quit talking to him so we can actually get him here.
Well, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to have him next.
Oh, going to break. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go to break. We'll be right back as soon as we can.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I thought we just said we're not going to break.
We're very confused here.
Nobody knows what the hell's going on. We're just going to – okay, so keep going to the break, and then we're going to – all right. All right. Well, but all right.
Well, either way, we've got Tim Tebow. We've got Jason and Devin McCourty still on our schedule today. Robbie Lawler, Michael Crabtree, comedian Craig Gass. A lot of guys we're planning on having on the show today. So it's been crazy out here, as you guys know. Richard Sherman, Doug Flutie, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, T.O., Byron Chamberlain, Deshaun Goldson, Bobby Bell, Victor Cruz. It's been a wild day. Been a wild week so far, as it always is out here. But that's the life, man.
So far, this is one of the best days we've ever had.
We go and go and go.
Yeah. So, all right. I think we're going to break now.
Who knows?
Yeah. And whatever. We're getting told three different things by three different people. So we're breaking now.
We're breaking now. Yeah. And then we're going to have Tim Tebow. All right.
All right.
We got it.
Fine. We got
it. All right.
This.
When
Everybody's
we come back. The great Tim Tebow will join our program. I'm excited about it. So stay tuned through the break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I want to run away. But you can't judge a book looking at the cover. You can't love someone.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.
And we are back from Radio Row in San Francisco, and joining us now, I'm very excited about this next guest, because one of, in my opinion, maybe the greatest college quarterback that ever played, and not pretty good SEC Network analyst, who I actually enjoy your work there, and also somebody, for some reason, you have the most famous love life in America. Why is it everybody wants to know about your dream girl? Tim Tebow.
I don't know, but I appreciate you having me on, guys.
They should get you on The Bachelor. Have they asked you about that? They've had to have asked you if you do The Bachelor.
I'll play the fifth.
I know they've got that. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Tim Tebow is our guest. Tim, how's life, I guess, at life after football for you? What's it been like?
Well, it's great. I'm so blessed. You know, I love doing what I'm doing for ESPN and SEC Nation and SEC Network. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I'm blessed to do so much stuff with the Tim Tebow Foundation. And, you know, this February 12th, we're actually hosting a night to shine, which is we're having a prom for people with special needs. But we're actually doing it in 200 locations around the world in 8 countries and 48 states here. And so it's pretty special to be able to celebrate over 31,000 people with special needs and have over 70,000 volunteers. And so, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do a lot of different things that matter, and that's pretty cool.
It really is amazing that a guy like yourself who, I mean, didn't have a huge NFL career still has such a huge impact, you know, off the field. Usually those two things go hand in hand. Guy's a great NFL player. He's able to do whatever he wants off the field. You're the rare case of a guy who – didn't have the NFL career that a lot of people, or probably that you had hoped you would have, but you're still able to do so much with just your name and your brand and what you've become. I think that's really a cool thing, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a blessing. I think the goal is to just, you know, find a way to make a difference in any way possible.
Well, and obviously you had the run with the Eagles earlier this year. I'm guessing you'll still keep the phones lines going just in case, but I gotta say, man, you're doing a great job on SEC Network.
Thank you. Much fun, man. We have such a good team, but it's also fun. I mean, every week, the passion, the excitement. I mean, it's SEC football. It's just, it really doesn't get any better. And you know, I'm someone that, if you've ever seen me play, you know I love passion and excitement. Yeah. So in those arenas, you know, every single week with all those fans, it's awesome. It's really electric.
I want to ask you about another SEC quarterback, former SEC quarterback, who is from our neck of the woods. And if you could sit down with Johnny Manziel and tell him, give him any advice, what would it be?
I don't know. I'd have to, you know, hear a little bit more about the situation. But I know he's someone that's extremely talented. He's a competitor, you know, and you just root for someone like that. I met him a couple times. Seems like a very nice guy, but. You know, you just try to, you know, you just want to talk to him about there's just the choices. And, you know, I think he's someone that deserves another shot. I really do.
Tim Tebow, our guest. I want to take you back a little bit to winning those national championships at Florida and being with Urban Meyer and building that into the program it is. And I know you're still very close with Coach Meyer still and to Florida. Do you think the Gators can get back to that, or is that was that pretty much an Urban Meyer system that's going to be hard to replicate?
No, I think Florida can get back there. I'm not sure if it'll be this year, but I think they will get back there. They, you know, this past year they had a really good year, got to the SEC championship, obviously lost to Alabama in a very competitive game. And if they have a little bit better quarterback play, they might beat the national champions in that game. So I think Florida, from a talent perspective, with the new quarterback coming in, they have a chance to make a run for the SEC East again. But also, you know, it's a hotbed. There's a lot of recruits down there. You see what Spurrier did, what Urban did. I think that McElwain could get that program going pretty good.
Talk about your backup at Florida, who happens to be starting in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
That's pretty wild, isn't it, to think about that? A guy that was backing you up at Florida now playing for a Super Bowl. I mean, did you know when you first met Cam that he was a pretty special player?
I knew that he was a very special talent, and he had a lot of you know, pizzazz and chemistry to him, and if he continued to work, he could be a very special player. And he's just that guy that, you know, like, he might not have been the strongest in the weight room, but he was country boy strong.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you knew, hey, this kid's got something special about him. And it's been really fun to see him grow and develop and to have the success that he's had this year. I'm just really happy for him.
Alabama wins another national championship. How long can Nick Saban keep this going? Because it seems like every year
as long as they keep getting the number one recruiting classes in the country. I mean,
but
there's something that happens when he has the best coaches in the country, the best players in the country. You're going to continue to be very successful. Now it's really hard when you're the top of the mountain to stay there. It is so much harder to stay there than it is to get there. And so that's what is so impressive to me, is to be able to get there, not necessarily year after year, but pretty much every other year to get back there. That is what is incredible.
Well, as you well know, every team is aiming for you at that point.
Every team.
And every loss is a big deal.
No question.
And so it's no shock when you lose to an Ole Miss. But I think at some point you can't keep losing this many good players and have another class ready to go, and they do it every year. Heck, they had true freshmen playing in the secondary this year, like looking like four-year starters.
Well, I do believe it's the fifth year in a row that they've had the number one recruiting class in the country. And given, that's not always right. It doesn't always matter if you're a five-star or a three-star. But, you know, they're getting what a lot of people believe to be the best players in the country. And then on top of that, when you have Nick Saban's scheme, and then when you also have the Alabama fan base that is just so supportive and they put so much into their players, like, you got something pretty special there.
I saw you singing on this lip sync battle. I mean, tell us about how you got involved with this.
Well, when the opportunity was presented to me, it was like, it's something that's outside of my comfort zone, something a little bit different. So I was like, yeah, I'll try it. I'll do it. I'll have fun. I'll go all out. So, you know, I really do go all out for it, and I have a lot of fun. And I think one of the coolest things is I was, you know, a huge fan of Rocky, and I sing Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. And one of the coolest things is I was actually wearing the shorts from Rocky III.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. All right.
Which I won't say it was the best Rocky, because I'm going to go with Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, but Rocky III is the second best Rocky.
It's really good Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Rocky V for sure.
But Mr. T was sweet in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lover Lang.
Tim Tebow. We'll be right back. Stroll around the grounds until you.